Father, we are amazed by you. Jesus. Father, we are blown away by you.
Yes.
Oh God, how much you love us.
Yes.
God, I make it personal, how much you love me.
Yes.
I'm amazed by you, Lord God. It's you who has made us and not we ourselves. We are your people and the sheep of your pasture, God. That's why we've entered into your gates with thanksgiving and into your courts with praise. Father, we thank you today. We praise you. We bless your name. Bless us, Lord, as your word is opened up to our hearts and our minds on today. Oh, God, we give you all of the glory. In the matchless name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Thank God. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Please be seated. Amen. If you is there anybody in the house amazed by the Lord? Has the Lord ever done something that really just literally blew your mind?
Yeah.
You was wondering, how did this happen? How could this be?
Yeah.
And you think about it, it was the Lord who brought me out.
Hallelujah.
It's the Lord who healed my body.
Yeah.
It's the Lord who gave me the desires of my heart. It's the Lord who caused the sun to shine this morning. Thank you, God. It's him who woke me up. This God, I'm amazed of how much you love me. And it's not pivoted on how much I love him, but he loved me so much. God loved me so much that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh God, I'm amazed by you. God, how you can take a drunk off the street and sit him in the house of the Lord. God, I'm amazed by you. Amen. I believe Psalmist said, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in the place, in the secret place of his tabernacle. Shall he hide me? And guess what? He'll place our feet up on a solid rock. Woo. And guess what? That rock is Jesus. J-E-S-U-S, the Savior of all mankind, the one who's able to do anything but fail. That great benediction that rings out in Jude 24 is now unto him. Thank you, Lord, who's able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, both now and forever. God, I'm amazed by you. How much you love me. Woo. He told me if I go through the fire, it won't burn me. Go through the flood, it won't overtake me. He said, I'll be with you always, even until the end of the age. God, I'm amazed by you. God, in my lowest point, you lifted me up.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. I'm amazed by you, dear Lord. Wrote my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Took my sins and threw them in the sea of forgetfulness.
All right.
Fill me with the precious Holy Spirit. God, I'm amazed by you.
Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Pay my bills. Amen.
Yes.
Amen. I know that's an amen. He makes a way out of no way.
Right.
Oh, he is worthy of the praise.
Hallelujah.
He's worthy of the praise. If nothing else is said all day long, he is worthy to be praised. The writer said, oh, if men would just praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful work toward the children of men. Amen. You know, one of these days, we just might have to have a breakout. Thank God. When we start thinking of, somebody said in the song, when I think about the goodness of Jesus and all that he has done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. Praise God for saving me. Anybody excited about salvation today? Woo, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Look where he brought me from. Brought me out of darkness into this marvelous light. Thank you, Lord. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Every day with Jesus, I love him more and more. Woo, it don't get much better than that. Thank you, Lord. Well, y'all done got me stirred up. I'm just up here just a few minutes just to share just a little word from the Lord. But every little word from the Lord is a big word.
Jesus, thank you.
It's God has, his word will carry us through hard times. His word will bring peace in the midst of a storm.
Hallelujah.
His word will make a mad dog get right. God's word is just powerful just like that. And we give him all the praise on this morning. We thank God amen, for praise and worship on this morning. We thank God for Power Hour on this morning. We just thank God for a brand new day. This is that day the Lord has made. And I choose. It is a choice. I choose to rejoice in it. It's a choice from the depths of my heart. Oh, God, thank you. My soul longs, yes, even faint for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cried out for the living God. Something inside of me that's working on the outside of me that's made a great change in my life. Amen. All right. All right, Brother Pastor Perry here. Amen. That's, you know, let me just slow down for one moment to just give God praise for this. You heard the announcement. God has opened up the door for us to go into the Chino Institute for Women's Prison for 6 months to share Bible study. And if everything work all right, hello, who's sending us in there? You know it's going to work out all right. The Lord will give us brown cards, those who are part of the team, that you'll be able to go in at any time into the prison carrying the word of God. And you remember, some of you all remember last time we were there as a group with another big group. We went into that prison, and there were young women doing life sentences. There were women there who've been there so long, but one of them, I never will forget, she looked like anybody's church mother. How her hair was so done and everything, and how she would just, but and we go whatever she's there for. But there was a reverence about her, and she loved the word of God. And I say, God, you're everywhere at the same time. So I'm praying that as the team go in there, and I'm going tomorrow, and whenever the Lord may send. But I know that there's the sisters of 3P's going there. There's some sister woman stuff that they'll be sharing with these women that yours truly don't need to even know, need to hear, because it's a women's prison. And I don't want anyone to be stifled because there's a man sitting up in there. But praise God, you know, we don't just send folks, we go. So we'll know what the Lord has to say. So praise God, amen. I thank God for that. So all the saints, pray for us tomorrow. Pray for the saints tomorrow. Sister Patricia, Sister Sandy, Evangelist Dolores, praise God. Sister Maria, pray as we go behind those prison walls. Amen. So the subject today, there's a blessing in present. Have you ever had to press through something? I'm talking about even natural stuff. Have you ever got a little tired? Have you ever got a little weary? But you know there's a task in front of you that needs to be done. And you kind of must up some strength, and you press through it, and somehow, some way, you make it through. Amen. And that's a blessing. You know, I never will forget one time, because when I was the skinniest one on my daddy and brother's crew of electrical work, and it was one summer in Pasadena. It was 100 degrees outside, and we had to change the whole electrical service in this house. And it's one of those flat roof houses where you only got, Brother Dave, about that much room to crawl through. So yours truly inherited a job to pull this cable from here over there. And it was so hot. It was so hot in that attic. I was sweating, but I could see a light at the end, and it was a vent, you know. And I crawled, Sister Dorothy. I was working my way through, and I got close enough to that vent, I could just put my nose there and get some fresh. It felt so good. I could have stayed up there, but it just from not being able to breathe to just breathe that fresh air. There's a blessing in pressing our way through sometime. Listen, ain't nobody told us the road was going to be easy. If they did tell you that, don't believe them. Because in this life, we're going to have some trials. We're going to have some heartaches. We're going to have some pain. And I'm talking about real pain. I'm talking about some real struggles we're going to have in this life. We're going to leave this life with some scars. All right. But that's not the end of the story. Amen. See, that's not the end of it. God is not through with us. Sometimes it may feel like I'm at the end of my rope. But hold on just a little while longer. Amen. Be still and see the salvation of the Lord. That's what God told Moses to tell the people at the Red Sea. The enemy you see today, you'll see no more forever. And how long is forever? It's forever. God will work it out on our behalf. And so I just thank the Lord on today, you know, to press. When you think about pressing our way, there's a blessing in pressing. To force one's way, to push through, you know. It's easy, it's real easy to give up. It's real easy to throw in the towel. You don't have to think about it. Oh, this pressure, so I just give up. You see homes break up because somebody say, enough, I'm out of here. You see folks sometimes will leave their children behind. Can't handle it. I read a book one time, a portion of a book from Dr. James Dobson said, parenting isn't for cowards. And I said, I didn't understand it too much until I started raising my two girls. It took some strength. It took help from the Lord to love them and to want the best for them and to do whatever you can for them. In the midst of this crooked world we're living in, there's a blessing in pressing, to push one's way through. Pressing, when I think about pressing, it's an urgent thing. It's urgently important, it's critical. And I think it's important as we move from the natural side of this thing to the spiritual side of this thing. Because we're in Christ and Christ is in us, but we're in this world and we're not of this world, and there's trouble that comes our way. It's a pressing way. And a lot of times we hear about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We hear about Moses and Daniel and Joseph. We hear about all the patriarchs. We hear about Paul and Peter, James and John and Matthew. Well, guess what? That's us today. People who have stood the test of time. People who have gone through some things. And people whom God has picked up and used them in a mighty way. Is there anybody in here today who want to be used by God? I don't want to just serve God for what I can get out of him. But God, I love you because you're so amazing. Your love is amazing to me. How you love me. And God, I want to be used for your glory. Do anybody just want to be used for God's glory? It's not about me, God, but it's about you, Father God. You saved me. You forgave me of my sins, God. You strengthened me, Lord. Oh, God, you took this from me. You took that from me. And you gave me your Holy Spirit, God. Oh, God, use me. God, I just want to represent you. I just want to be an ambassador for Christ. God, I don't need to sit in a high chair. Just let me in the house of the Lord. Just let me be around the people who love Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, for giving me a new family.
Hallelujah.
Oh, God, thank you for giving me an inheritance amongst those who are sanctified. Thank you, God. And so we bless the Lord on today. And so we look at this Philippians chapter 3 verses, 12 through 14. But anytime you read a scripture, you know it's a backdrop. You know it's something else happening. But God will take these nuggets and cause us to think, cause us to try to figure out, God, what is your plan for me? God, who am I and what am I doing here, God? And so here we find writing from the great apostle Paul, and he's writing this letter to the church at Philippi. And anytime you see men of God, the word of God, God is writing to a people for a purpose. Just like all scripture is inspired by God. And it's profitable for reproof and encouragement and exhortation. And here we this man who wrote this, God brought him from a long way. He matter of fact, before I get to those verses, this, I can hear, see, it's one thing when you don't know the Lord. Then it's another thing when you come to know the Lord. And it's still another thing when God calls you to do something for him. That when he shows you what your calling is, when he shows you what your purpose is, when he shows you, remind you that it's he who has brought us and not we ourselves, it brings on a new dimension. In that first verse, Paul said, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Just right off the top, rejoice in the Lord. Well, sometimes we might feel like we don't have nothing to rejoice about. But if we think about it, we have so much to rejoice about. You know, last Thursday, I was doing the English eulogy, and another pastor doing the Spanish eulogy for my dear friend, Brother Sam. But you know what? He wasn't there. He was in the presence of the Lord. And he had lived a life pleasing to God. And I remember probably 30 years ago, he had 6 bypasses. And he had one question for the doctor when he came out of anesthesia. He said, well, I'll be able to play my harmonica. And that man played that harmonica till he died. Hallelujah. It's good to know that there's a calling on our lives. Yes, we have issues, we have troubles, we have this thing called life to live, bills right. to pay, family members in situations, and you know the stress of this old world we live in, and please don't start looking at the news and all the stuff that's going on. You know, you have to, and then somebody asks you the question, well, what do I have to rejoice about? Things is falling around, down all around me. But no, he says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Yes. Not rejoicing in things. Not rejoicing in what you have. But rejoicing in the Lord because he is so good. I'm so amazed by how much he loves me. He allows me to breathe his air. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. He said, for me to write this same thing to you is not tedious, but for you is safe. That's what God has called all of us as believers to do, to give someone an encouraging word, to let somebody know you can make it.
Yes.
And it's not minimize. And listen, it's not telling folks, you know, it's going to be all right. Just okay, take that and run with it. Mm-hmm. We need to identify with people. We need to understand when somebody's truly hurting, when someone is broken. The same God, the same word of God will lift the hung down head. God has put that calling upon our life. Paul in the upper part of this, in verse 2, he said, beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of mutilators. He's telling the folks, beware of those who have no good intentions, even in the house of God. He went on to talk about, he said, but you know what? We worship God in the spirit and we rejoice in Christ Jesus. And he said, we have no confidence in the flesh. Ooh, Brother David just blessed me when he was up here praying. That man have a testimony, and I ain't gonna tell it, but it was one point in his testimony months ago. He said, God, if you wake me up, I'll do the rest. That ain't what his prayer sounded like this morning. He was saying, God, thank you, you woke me up.
Yeah.
This is the God we serve.
That's right.
He changes us from the inside out.
Hallelujah.
He has blessings untold. And so there's no place for pride or arrogancy in the house of God.
Yes.
Titles don't make you. Jesus makes the difference.
Yes, yes.
The Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost inside of us makes the difference.
Yes.
We're just to walk worthy in the calling where God has called us from. I'm so glad there's no big I's and no little U's in the kingdom of God. Nobody, we're going to see this man, nobody has arrived.
That's right.
Oh my God, but there's a blessing in pressing. And Paul said, I'm going to get on, and we go get on because we got things to do. It's Communion Sunday as well. But he said, if anybody have a reason to boast, he said, I do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if that's where I was still at. He said, you're talking about I'm talking about a real Jew, a real religious Jew. He said, I was circumcised on the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. And concerning the law, he said, I was a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, I was persecuting the church. Them who was calling on Jesus, I was having them locked up because I was standing for the law. Had clout, had the authorities behind my name. He said, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, I was blameless. I could go up and down the line, tell you about the law and what I'm doing. Listen to what he said in verse 7. And I didn't give them this, but they're there. He said, but what things were gained to me?
All right.
These I have counted loss for Christ. All the accolades, all the stuff, all of his teaching and learning at the feet of Gamaliel. He's come to know Christ. He said, that ain't nothing but loss. Yet indeed also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. My Lord. I love that. It's one thing when you talk about the Lord because he is the Lord, but when you get to the point where it's my Lord, my God, my Savior, my Redeemer, my soon coming King, my healer, my joy, my peace. He said, I count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him. Listen to this, not having my own righteousness. Have you ever seen somebody self-righteous? I know you haven't, but I've had the opportunity a couple of times. Not have my own right, but which is from the law, but that which is through Christ, through faith in Christ. The righteousness which is from God by faith. Listen to this. This is, and we're going to get into 12, 14 in a minute, but let's stop at 10 and 11 here for a moment. The man from the depths of his heart says, that I may know him.
All right.
Capital H-I-M. And the power of his resurrection.
Yes.
And the fellowship of his suffering.
Hallelujah.
To identify with our Lord and Savior who gave it all for you and I. What makes me think that I'm not going to have trials? What made me think that I'm not going to be talked about or misused? You know, Jesus suffered all of these things. And he told us to arm ourselves likewise. He said, if they've done this to a green tree, what you think they're going to do to a dry tree? He said, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. So here's the verses I want to look at. There's a blessing in pressing.
Right.
Sometimes folk can't come to church because the basketball game is on.
Right.
Can't come to church because you got to take the kids to the soccer field. Can't come, you know, sometimes there's all kind of excuses that people will give themselves for maybe not giving God what his due is. Now, don't get me wrong, because it's not a bunch of rules and laws and regulations that we as believers follow. There's times, you know, I can't make it, and I know we feel condemned about it because. But I think the overarching thing should be, you know what? I'm a child of God. I'm a saint of God. I'm affiliated with a particular church, and I'm a part of that church, and I want to see that church grow, and I want to be used by God. I need to be there. I need to press my way into the house of the Lord, not only to hear a word from God, but God, you may give me a word to share with someone else. So here this man with this dynamic pedigree and all of the degrees that he had in his life, that now he says, you know what, it means nothing to me because we're going to see something. It's one thing. Let me read this first. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected. In short, he said, I have not arrived. He said, but I press on. How many know sometimes it's hard to press on? Sometimes sickness in your body and it's hard to press on. And not just pressing to come to church, but just pressing on in life. Sometimes you can lose a loved one and it'll rock your very foundation.
Yeah.
When my mother passed away, and that was one of the hardest things I ever dealt with in my life. Then when I was asked to do the sermon, to do the eulogy for my mother, I was like, what? And the Holy Spirit began to ask me questions. Do you believe what you've been telling everybody else? You've been telling folks that mama's in a better place. You're going to see daddy and grandma again. Do you believe it? You've been by the bedside of those who's on their way to glory. Do you believe what you've been putting everybody else's life? And nobody down there in that little small shack house in Oak Mug, Oklahoma, but me and God. And I said, yes, God, I do believe. When I said that, it freed me up. It freed me up to preach my mother's funeral. God will show up and he'll give us what we need. He said, not that I have already attained or I'm already perfected, but I press on. That's my point. I'm pressing on. Sometimes you got to press on when things are not, don't feel good. Press on when things don't look good. Press on when you've been, your name been put on the superhighway. Press on. Press on, he said, perfect, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. What is he laid? He loved me so much, he gave his life that I would be able to spend eternity with him in heaven. I'm laying hold of that. I'm pressing on. I'm not going to let nobody or nothing turn me around. My mind is made up. My heart is fixed. For God I'll live, for God I'll die. Swim, sink, or drown, I'm on the Lord's side. He said, that I may lay hold of that which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Listen to this. Listen to this. Say, brethren, I do not count myself to have arrived or apprehended or made it to the mark. How many know we're still striving? Anybody in here know you got a long way to go? Have you ever heard those saying, say, please be patient with me? Because God is not through with me yet. But when he get through with me, I'm going to come forth as pure gold. I'm coming out of this thing. I'm making it through this mess. I'm going to be all right, because the song says, when I see Jesus, it's amen, amen, it's hallelujah, praise God. He said, I count not myself to have arrived or apprehended, but one thing I do, and this is something we all need to learn how to do. If we haven't got it already, we need to get it today. Forgetting those things which are behind. Is that always easy? Do that mean that we're asking God to erase our memory? No. But we find out one thing, that the past, it don't have a grip on us, because he says here, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, he said, I'm pressing on. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Wow. That's what I'm pressing for. What do you want to hear the Lord say? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'm going to make you ruler over many. Come in to enjoy the joy of the Lord. Come on to your Father's house. The table is spread and the feast of the Lord is going on. Thank you, Lord God. There's a new name over in glory. Guess whose it is? It's mine. It's mine. All mine. So, saints, we need to press on. He said, I'm forgetting. Listen, we need to forget about some of these past hurts and give them to Jesus. I've learned how to open. I'm finally learning how to open up and give it to God. Because, God, this hurt. God, this did not feel good. But I'm coming to you, Lord God. I'm coming to you like an empty pitcher before a full-flowing fountain, asking you, Lord God, to fill my cup, Lord, and let it run over, God. It's a blessing in pressing, God. Have you ever been in a place you didn't feel like praying? You know, you got so much in your mind. Your heart is so broken. And if you're not careful, you'll be laying there, and rather than counting sheep, We need to start counting our blessings. We need to get up or down on our knees and ask God for mercy, please. God, I'm calling on you, God. I'm hurting, Lord. I'm broken down on the inside, God. My mind is confused, but God, you said I can call up on you and you will answer me and you will show me great and mighty things that I don't know. God, I'm praying. I'm pressing my way, God. I'm pressing through the pain because you're the source of my joy. God, I'm coming to you because you said, come unto me, all you who are laboring and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. God, I'm coming to you. I'm tired. I need some rest, Lord God. You said this peace I have, the world didn't give it and the world can't take it away. God, I'm calling on your peace today. I'm pressing my way through. So this life is challenging. This life is a struggle. But thank God we're not in it by ourselves. Because he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Sure, you've been had some hard times. Sure, you've been done wrong. But lift up your head, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty, mighty in battle. Listen, we need to know who we serve. We need to know what he's capable of doing. Sometimes the very thing that we're trying to hold on to is the very thing that's killing us. Let it go. Let go and let God. It's a blessing in pressing. Pressing on in the name of the Lord. Pressing on in the things of the Lord. Sometimes we're looking for folks to bless us. But God say, I will bless you. I'll bless you going in and I'll bless you going out. I'll make your way plain. Only be strong and very courageous. Strong in the Lord, right? And in the power of his might. This is a race we're running.
Hallelujah.
It ain't a 50-yard dash. It's a marathon. And we need to be prepared for the long haul. We need to be dressed appropriately for the long haul. We need to have some nutrition down on the inside, and that's the word of God. Somebody was reading the Bible one day in the restaurant. I said, what you doing? He said, eating some soul food. I said, that looked like bacon and egg. He said, no, soul food. The word of God is good for the soul. 1 Corinthians 9:24, Paul says, do you not know that those who run in a race, everybody out there running, and they're all running for one particular thing. They want to win. They want to break the ribbon. They want to get that goal. Paul says, do you not know that those who run in a race, they all run, but only one is going to receive the prize. You know, if you number 10, you ain't going to be the one to get the first place thing. You can lay on the ground and kick and scream all you want. You didn't win. But look, I deserve it. No, you don't. That's natural. Now, y'all stay with me for a minute. But he says, run in such a way that you may obtain it. It calls for discipline. It calls for trusting God. It calls for pressing our way through. Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for this, for the prize, is temperate in all things, is diligent in all things, is careful in all things. You know, I tell you, since I've been saved, I learned so much. And I'm still learning sometimes to shut up. learning when to say and when not to say. You know, sounds simple, right? But tell that to your flesh. Learn, you know. Learning when to and when not to. Why? Because Proverbs 3:5-6 say, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And don't lean to your own and old understanding. But in all your ways acknowledge him and he'll direct a path. Again, sounds simple, but look how profound that is. See, that's when we know that it's God who is the one who's going to help us through whatever it is we're dealing with. Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now listen to this. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown. You know, a first place trophy. That's what the natural man runs for. He say, but we run for an imperishable crown.
Hallelujah.
See, he say, there's a crown of life waiting for us in glory. When we step out of this life into his presence, he'll give us a crown of life. And not only to us, but to everyone who loves his appearing. Is somebody looking for Jesus to come back? Is anybody today can say in your heart, even so, come now, Lord Jesus. But while we're here, we're going to occupy till you come. While we're here, God, we're going to press our way through. We're going to go through, God, in the name of Jesus, trusting you. 1 Timothy 6 and 11 say, but you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue right. What things? He talked to them. He warned them about division. Beware of those who divide things, who's always got some undercurrent stuff happening. He also let them know, he said, godliness with contentment is great gain. You can be godly and you can be content when stuff is going crazy around you.
Jesus.
Because he who is in you is greater than he who's in the world.
Yes.
He said, beware of greed.
Jesus.
Beware of covetousness. He's letting them know, here's some things that will hinder you. Where you find yourself not really pressing your way through to get that blessing. So he says in verse 11 of 1 Timothy 6, but you, old man, you, old, not old man, right, or old woman, but old man, right? But you, old man of God, you, old woman of God, you, old children of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness. Wait a minute, pursue now, that means that there's some pressing going on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm chasing after something.
Hallelujah.
Pursue righteousness, not selfishness, but pursue righteousness, not unrighteousness, but righteousness in God's eyes, right? But you, O man of God, flee these things, pursue righteousness, godliness, pursue faith, pursue love. Pursue patience. And I don't mean give me patience right now. I'm going to have to wait. I'm going to have to go through some things. For in your patience, the Bible says, possess ye your soul. So pursue faith, love, patience, gentleness. He's talking to the church. He's talking to believers. Pursue gentleness. So that tells me we should be known as believers for being gentle, not being aggressive. Don't put the spotlight on me. Put the spotlight on me. No, put the spotlight on the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to this. I'm talking about a blessing and pressing. He say, fight the good fight of faith. Anytime you talk about fighting, you know it's going to be some struggle. You don't get in the, what's them little Murph foam rubber thing folks can beat each other with? He ain't talking about that kind of fight. Fight the good fight of faith. This is a fight that's good. The good fight of faith that says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him.
Hallelujah.
See, some people have a though faith. No. Some people have an if faith. Because the though faith say, God, I'm going to trust you regardless. The if faith say, if you bless me, God, if you make my way plain, if nobody talk about me, if everything, I never get sick, God, if you do all that, then I'll serve you. The though faith say, God, though trials may come on every hand, I'm going to trust you.
Hallelujah.
Fight the good fight of faith.
Thank you, Lord.
Lay hold, grab hold on eternal life.
Jesus.
To which you were also called and you, believers, have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. What's that good confession? That I'm in Christ and Christ is in me. I've given my life to the Lord Jesus Christ, and I haven't been the same since. I've had some ups, and I've had some downs. I've had some trials, and I've had some tribulation, but he has never left me. He's been there all the time. When my strength was gone, he lifted my head. Thank you, God. Lay hold on eternal life. There was a woman over in Matthew 9. She's a precious woman who was sick for a long time. She had a hemorrhage for 12 long years. She spent, no doubt she was wealthy, but sometimes money won't do it. And she had spent all of her money going to every doctor, and nobody could heal her. But she heard about this man named Jesus. Oh, God, in the name of, she heard about him, and she heard that he was healing, that he can deliver, that he can set free, he can give sight to the blind, and the Holy Spirit, God himself, put something down in her. She said, oh, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, if I can just touch the bottom of his robe. She didn't say, I think. She didn't say, maybe. She said, if I can just touch him, I'll be made whole. She pressed her. The Bible said there was crowds all around Jesus. Because everybody's pulling and tugging at Jesus. Heal me, heal me. Give me this, give me this, give me that. I need you, I need. And she saw all the crowd. But if you've been hemorrhaging that long, you're weak. You don't have a whole lot of strength. But she said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment. And she began with her weak self. She began to push her way through the crowd. Excuse me, sir. Pardon me, ma'am. I'm just trying to get to Jesus. To his robe. I just want to touch him because I heard if I touch him, he'll touch me back.
Hallelujah.
And she made her way. She pressed her way and she touched the hem of his garment. And Jesus said, who touched me?
All right.
And the people said, Jesus, now listen, we know you know a lot, but all these people around here, and you saying, who touched me? He said, no, this was a special touch. It was a touch of faith. Because I felt the door, he said, I felt virtue leave my body. I saw the healing power leave my body to touch that person who touched me. Jesus knew who it was. The people didn't know who it was. And she was healed that very hour.
Hallelujah.
Mm.
Yeah.
There's a blessing in pressing.
All right.
Jesus said in Luke 9:62, mm-hmm. No one having put his hand to the plow of salvation. The plow of deliverance. No one having put his hand to the plow of calling on the Lord and looking back is not fit for the kingdom of God. Yes, we have a past, and yes, it's ugly, and it hurts sometime, but I'm not going to keep looking, because if I look in the rearview mirror, it's only this big. But if I look at the windshield, it's this big. So what's ahead of me is greater than what's behind me. So there's a blessing in pressing. If I bless, if I press, I'm going to be blessed. God's going to do it. I'm reminded of this old song. I'm closing. It says, I'm pressing on the upward way. Anybody remember that old song? Oh, God. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm upward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. And I think the chorus said, Lord, lift me up and let me stand. By faith on heaven's tableland. No higher plane that I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Anybody looking for higher ground today? Amen. It's hard to fly with eagles when you're running with turtles. Because turtle, first of all, ain't running. He getting nowhere slow. But with God, So at the end of the day, I'm just encouraging someone. Keep on pressing. Don't give up. Help is on the way. My past don't define who I am now. I believe everybody in here have something they can, they may have regretted at some point in their life. But when you come to Christ, it's done. And you know what I love about the Lord, and what I love about forgiveness, and what I love about reconciliation? I haven't forgotten nothing that's happened in my life. I'm talking about stuff that was done wrong. I ain't never forgot that. But when true forgiveness comes, when true reconciliation, it don't mean nothing. I don't have to sit there and say, I'm going to feed you with a long handle spoon. You'll never do that to me again. But I remember everything, but I'm free. I'm free. I'm so grateful. You all know my testimony, so I'm quitting. But when Sandy and I was married and divorced for almost 3 years, and now it's been 44 years. Don't you know that there had to be some things that had to be the source of, but those things mean nothing because Christ, we pressed our way through, we followed God's rule, and He gave us the what we needed to make it through. And in 44 years, we've never brought up something from the past. I remember everything. But I'm free. Whom the Son set free is free indeed. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen.